May it please the Court, my name is Joseph Bernstein, and I'm here representing the appellant Michael Rodriguez in this appeal. This is a case where a bullet was surgically removed from the defendant's body by medical personnel, and the trial court found that these medical personnel were not just acting as medical people, they were also closely involved with the state, and the court found as a fact that they were not so-called private actors, but were actually an arm of the state when they, not just when they removed the bullet, but more importantly when they turned that bullet over to the police for subsequent testing. There was no consent. The trial court found, even notwithstanding the state's argument that the defendant consented to the turnover, the trial court found as a fact that he did not consent.
Well,
there was no warrant.
Can you elaborate on that? As I understand it, there were one, if not two, forms where the nurse said there was a verbal consent. And was that argued to the superior court?
Here's the problem that I have. When you look at all the memos that were filed by the state and the court below, there isn't any mention of this consent argument that the state now raises in its appeal. It wasn't argued.
But you just were telling us how the superior court dealt with it, and that's my question. What was the superior court's rationale for simply discounting the consent and going to the merits?
Well, the problem, I guess, starts with at the trial itself. Mr. Rodriguez filed a pro se suppression motion. His attorney blew it off and didn't want to follow through on it because he didn't believe it had any merit. When the hospital personnel started testifying about all these forms that they used, the trial attorney tried to say, wait a minute, I want to get into this consent issue. And the trial court cut him off and said, you should have filed a suppression motion. We're not going to get into that. Now, during the course of this case, there were medical records introduced, but because the state did not raise the consent issue in the Rule 61, nobody ever got into the question of was there consent or what kind of consent was there. I can tell you as an officer of the court, I reviewed all the medical records in this case, and what I found, and of course it was never presented to the court below because state never raised consent, was that at the time this verbal consent was supposedly given, Mr. Rodriguez was under anesthesia. He was operated on within a half an hour of arriving at the hospital.
So when
and
we,
he was administered, according to the hospital's own records.
Mr. Bernstein.
That's not in this.
Mr. Bernstein.
I'm sorry?
So what you're saying is that we should assume that this case is being litigated based on the predicate fact that there was no consent.
Well, nobody ever got into the consent. The consent issue was never an issue in the Superior Court in the Rule 61.
I'm asking you, really, what is the precise issue that we need to decide, and does that issue presuppose no consent?
Well, my argument is that the court should consider the consent issue to have been waived because it wasn't raised in the court below. And if the court doesn't want to do that, we should have an opportunity to demonstrate that there was no consent, which we never did because it was never raised in the court below.
Well, let's assume for the balance of your argument that it was waived. So the presupposition that Justice Jacobs referred to, let's make it the presupposition. Where do we go from here?
Okay. If there was no consent, the state does not argue that this was an exigent circumstances case or that any other exception to the warrant requirement applies. That's not being argued here. The state's argument, aside from the consent argument, is that there was no Strickland violation because the defense attorney made a strategic decision not to file a suppression motion. And if you look at the defense attorney's affidavit, he basically says, I didn't file a suppression motion because I thought this was private action, not covered by the Fourth Amendment.
So what we have then is once the Superior Court judge in the Rule 61 says, I've concluded the hospital was really a state agent when they turned over the bullet, that your argument is the only way they could get the bullet, meaning the police, would have been by an application for a search warrant.
I would agree with that.
I mean, that's your argument.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, okay.
Well, the argument on ineffective assistance of counsel is that the trial attorney should have known about Verdon, which sets the establishes the test for private versus
right.
governmental action. And this, and if you look at the forms that they use, it's fairly elaborate and obviously well established because they have forms.
Right. So, all right, stating your argument from the beginning, your focus is on the fact that the articulated reason for not filing the motion to suppress by the trial attorney is the trial attorney deemed it to be private action, which was wrong according to the Superior Court judge that did the post-conviction proceeding.
Well, it's also wrong because if the trial attorney had looked at the law and paid attention to how involved the hospital people were in evidence gathering for the state. Hospital has no interest in gathering evidence for the state. They're doing it, and I agree with the trial court. They didn't have any skin in that game. They were doing it solely for the benefit of the police authorities.
So the hospital, if I get the thrust of your argument, could just as easily, from a legal standpoint, have held on to the bullet and refused to turn it over to the police.
They could have held on to it. They could have thrown it in the trash. They could have done a lot of things with it.
All right. But and if they held on to it, that is, if the hospital held on to the bullet, would that make them an agent of the state anyway?
Well, my argument is,
excuse me, do they become an agent of the state if they hand over the bullet, but not if they don't hand over the bullet?
No, my argument is that they were agents of the state because they had set up all these procedures which went far beyond the statute. All the statute says you got to report a gunshot wound. It doesn't say you have to establish a chain of custody, you have to get the person's consent or not consent or get a warrant or do all those things. The trial court found it was state action because there was just too much involvement.
Well, let's parse this a little more finely. You know, two scenarios. One is the state goes to the hospital and says, you know, if you have a gunshot wound patient and you extract a bullet, we want you to turn over the bullet and, you know, we'll work with you to set up protocols for how that gets done. That at least is a bilateral agreement between the state and the hospital. Then you have another situation where the hospital on its own simply does that without consulting with the state at all. In the latter case, does that still make the state?
I'm sorry.
In the latter case, does that still make the hospital an agent of the state?
I'd say there'd be a better argument that the hospital was a private actor if they didn't have all these elaborate procedures, but they did. I mean,
does the record reflect why?
Why they had these procedures?
Yeah, there's some testimony by one of the nurses who's referred to as a forensic nurse, which is a suspicious terminology, that suggests the hospital believed it was obligated to turn the bullet over to the police. Did anyone explore the genesis of that?
I don't think anybody ever got into that with these witnesses. One of the witnesses said, I think it was Nurse Draca, testified that we don't even try and get the consent. It's just not an issue. which contradicted the form that they use. I mean, the whole issue...
Well, does anyone know who generated the form?
That was never gotten into. But these were pre-printed forms that apparently they routinely used. These forms weren't created just for this case.
Well, I understand that, but is there some pattern? Do all the hospitals in the state have a similar form, or is this unique to this
hospital?
Nobody
ever got into that. And the reason nobody ever got into it was because the trial court in the original trial kind of just cut the whole consent issue off at the pass by saying, you didn't file a suppression motion. We're not getting into this.
Okay, so the issue, if I understand your argument correctly, boils down to whether the defendant's consent was required in order to pass Strickland and not moving to suppress.
I can say this. It looks like the hospital thought that they needed to get his
consent. I'm asking you what we have to decide. And the question I'm asking is the issue whether or not the defendant's consent was constitutionally required?
Well, I think this court is confronted with a factual finding by the trial court that there was no consent.
I understand that. So, what? All right, then articulate the question.
And I think at this point the burden's on the state to show that was clearly erroneous.
Yeah, one of your tasks as a lawyer appearing before this court is to tell us what you think the issue is.
Well, what I think the issue is, I think the trial court was correct in deciding it was state action. I think the trial court was correct.
I didn't ask you for your argument. I'm asking you for the issue.
Well, what I take issue with in the trial court's decision is the conclusion that there was no Fourth Amendment violation because this was not an effect of Mr. Rodriguez. I think it's notable that the court didn't cite any authority for this conclusion, but simply didn't even cite a definition of effect. And I would take issue with the court's conclusion.
Okay, but I think Justice Jacobs' question and my current question is, we're here on an appeal from a Rule 61 ruling, and as I understand, the centerpiece of your argument is that the trial attorney should have filed a motion to suppress because the trial attorney should have realized there was an argument that the hospital was a state agent.
Correct.
And the fact that the trial attorney missed the argument that the hospital was a state agent, which led to not filing the motion to suppress, caused the defendant prejudice, because if the motion to suppress had been filed and this debate about the hospital being a state agent had been developed, perhaps a motion to suppress would have been granted.
Correct.
Okay.
Although I still have to deal with the trial court's conclusion, ultimate conclusion, that there was no Fourth Amendment violation because of this effect, and the trial court.
Well, did you ask what the trial judge meant by effect? Didn't the trial judge mean that Mr. Rodriguez had no possessory interest in the bullet?
Well, that's what the trial court said. He had no possessory interest in the bullet, and
he certainly didn't put it in his body. You could argue it was someone else's bullet.
And I'm looking at the decision. So there was not an effect. He didn't own the bullet and had no possessory interest in it. And I would suggest to the court, something can be an effect of someone, whether you, I don't think ownership.
Well, are you arguing that he did have a possessory interest?
Well, it was in his possession.
I didn't ask
it was in
that.
His body.
Does he have a possessory
before it was interest? Removed.
I understand that. And it was out of his body after it was removed. And after it was removed, did he have a possessory interest?
After it was removed, he had as much of a possessory interest in it as the hospital did, if
which
not
may
more.
Which may be zero.
He had more of a possessory interest in it than the police authorities did, who didn't know it even existed.
If he had taken someone else's diamond ring and swallowed it, and in order to save his life, someone removed the diamond ring, would he have a possessory interest in the diamond ring?
Well, there the diamond ring's the subject of a theft, so I would say no. This bullet was...
That's a meaningful distinction in your mind?
I think it is, because...
Well, how did he receive the
bullet? I
don't
think the law would recognize a possessory interest.
How did he receive the bullet in his body?
He was shot.
By someone's home he was allegedly burglarized.
Yes.
So you think that's a meaningful distinction,
well,
the diamond ring and
I think
being, carrying a bullet away from the scene of a burglary?
It's certainly not your classic theft.
No, it's a nice bar exam question. I'll give you that.
It's well, I'm not going to comment on that. But
did you want to save the balance?
It's one of those things that...
Mr. Bernstein, did you want to save the balance of your
yes,
time?
Yes, I'm going to do that.
Okay.
I just have one other point to make.
Okay.
If the court's inclined to get into this consent issue, we should be allowed to develop it in the court below, make a record.
But that means that we have to determine that consent is relevant.
That obviously, that's correct.
And that's part of what I was asking you. So isn't that an issue? Isn't that an issue that we have to decide?
I'm just saying we shouldn't get bushwhacked by allowing the state to raise it on appeal for the first time.
We took that from your argument, I think.
Okay.
May it please the court, Maria Knoll representing the state of Delaware. Appellant Rodriguez cannot substantiate his claim of ineffective assistance of counsel in this case.
Ms. Knoll, what do you say the issues are?
I believe there's a number of issues, Your Honor. I believe one issue is whether the defendant has had a reasonable expectation of privacy and whether the Fourth Amendment was even implicated by this, by the surgery and turning over the bullet to the police.
Would it be fair to articulate the issue as whether, or one of the issues is whether the defendant's consent was necessary for the hospital to be able to turn the bullet over to the police?
I think that's reasonable to develop that, yes, Your Honor. However, I do also believe that the defendant did consent in this case.
Well, we have to go back and look at the inaction by the trial attorney.
Okay.
So based on the two points you just made, your argument seems to be there's nothing to this ineffective assistance of counsel argument because a motion to suppress would have been a waste of time.
Correct.
Because the hospital could do anything it wanted with the bullet, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Alternatively, number two, the defendant consented.
Yes, Your Honor.
So let's take it from there.
Okay. With respect to the consent issue, Your Honor, I understand that the appellant indicates that it wasn't fairly presented in the Rule 61. Both in trial counsel's affidavit, the defense counsel affidavit, he indicated that the appellant voluntarily presented himself to the hospital and consented to the surgery. The state echoed that as well. Also, during the trial, the state brought up prior to the trial starting that this is going to be a Rule 61 issue because I know that the defendant at the time wanted a motion to suppress, and the defense attorney has decided not to do that. They developed that on the trial record, and at the time, the defense attorney indicated that he didn't think it was going to be successful, that he voluntarily presented himself to the hospital, and he consented to the surgery. The state then also said there is also this consent form where he voluntarily consented. And that was part of the record at the beginning of trial.
Is there an issue about to what he consented? He consented to the surgery, consented to the removal of the bullet. Is there any issue about consenting to the hospital giving the bullet to the police?
Well, Your Honor, the consent form that was discussed at the beginning of trial indicates that he gave verbal consent to that being turned over to the police because that's what the form indicates.
And Mr. Bernstein says he was under anesthesia at the time. Does that accurately reflect the record?
Your Honor, I am not aware of, I guess, how far under the anesthesia he was. I do believe he was being brought into the hospital. He was being brought in for surgery, but I can't answer
that. Is
that
like being pregnant? He was anesthetized?
Being a little bit pregnant?
But just a little bit?
I know that he was being brought into surgery, and he was not able to sign the form. The nurse did testify that she did tell him that that was, basically she put it, we offered the services of having the bullet turned over to the police, and I relayed that to him. And then she wrote on the form, verbal consent given.
But the court found that consent wasn't given?
The court found, and I don't know that they developed it all the way because I believe that they were reaching towards
Did the court find that consent wasn't given?
In my opinion, they found that consent was given for the operation, but it did not reach to the bullet. That's what I take from it, yes.
Okay, you know, you've given us, you know, your side of the argument.
Yes.
As to why consent was given, but we have a finding that goes the other direction, at least as far as it concerns the narrow issue for us. So how do we deal with that?
Well, Your Honor, the court is still able to affirm the Superior Court's ruling, but based on other reasons, if the court so chooses.
Because no consent was necessary?
I don't believe consent was necessary.
Well, what does the state believe?
Okay, the state believes that no consent was necessary.
Because?
Because this was not a search and seizure that implicated the Fourth Amendment.
And why not?
Because the surgery was necessary. He voluntarily presented himself for the surgery. The surgery was necessary. Christiana Hospital is a private agency. They removed the bullet as part of his surgery, and they made the decision at that point when they were lawfully in possession of the bullet to turn it over to the police.
So the trial judge was in, or the Rule 61 judge, whichever one it was inaccurate when they found that the hospital was an agent of the state?
Your Honor, when I look at Verdon versus State, I think that they were inaccurate. When I look at the two things that have to be decided to determine state action, I think that they were not an agent of the state, and I disagree with the trial court with respect to that.
Do you mind telling us why?
Well, the two factors are whether the police knew and acquiesced into the intrusive conduct. There's nothing to indicate in this case that they certainly didn't direct the surgery. They didn't bring the defendant in. He came on his own. They were advised subsequently that there was someone here who is claiming to be a victim, that he was shot in the city of Wilmington, and then the police came. And whether the private party's purpose in conducting the search was to assist law enforcement or to further its own ends. I thought it was fairly clear from the record that the intent of Christiana Hospital in taking this bullet from the defendant was to was life-saving measures, surgery.
Yeah, but the point is giving it to the police as opposed to giving it back to the defendant as a souvenir, throwing it in the trash, putting it in the wall of evidence collected on the wall in the down the hall of the hospital. Why did they turn it over to the police?
Your Honor, once Christiana Hospital was in lawful possession of the bullet, I believe they could decide to do whatever they wanted to do with it. They do have a policy saying that they will turn over, I believe it's foreign objects or foreign bodies to the police. There's no indication that
you
the
police...
You mean
foreign bodies inside a patient's body?
Correct. Foreign objects over to the police. There's nothing to indicate that that was something that the police wrote for them or that they even contacted the police to come up with this procedure.
No one developed those facts?
No, not in this case, no, Your Honor.
Does the state argue in its brief that the Superior Court erred in concluding that at the point where the hospital turned the bullet over to the police, it was an agent of the state?
The state argued in its brief that the hospital was not a state agent under Verdon versus State, yes.
So that the court... erred.
Yes.
If we were to disagree with you on that point,
okay,
would it matter?
I think this court could still affirm the Superior Court. One, you can affirm the Superior Court on other reasons, but also, again, this defendant didn't have a possessory interest in this bullet.
So that's what it comes down to, right?
Even if
the hospital was an agent of the state, or
yes,
whether it was or whether it wasn't,
It comes down to consent and or possessory interest, yes.
Whatever it turned over to the state.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Is not anything that the defendant had a possessory interest in.
Correct, Your Honor.
When you were preparing this case and writing your brief, I know that you were thorough. It's surprising that with all the people that get shot in this country in the 50 states, that there isn't more case law about what happens to the bullets that are removed from gunshot victims. Did you find anything that was remotely similar to this?
Interestingly, Your Honor, there was a few cases. There was not a lot that I found, and I've done researchers preparing for argument. The state in its brief did cite Webb versus Texas, Kraft versus Virginia, and the Commonwealth versus Sterello. I also found another case, State versus Cowan. And for the most part, a lot of these turned on reasonable expectation of privacy and possessory interest. I did not find a case finding that the defendant would prevail. All the cases I found, with respect to a bullet in particular, as opposed to clothing or something else or a different factual scenario, I could not find a case where the defendant prevailed in a motion to suppress or on appeal. There wasn't a lot that I could find.
So I suppose if anyone had a possessory interest in that bullet, it would be the victim who actually shot the defendant.
One would assume he paid for the bullet and he used the bullet, so it was his
bullet. And would have been happy to have it turned over to the police.
As the trial judge indicated, although he looked like he wanted to give it to the defendant, it was not his bullet. If the court has nothing further, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I may have left, but
almost 4 minutes.
Ms. Knoll talks about the defendant didn't have a possessory interest, and I would suggest to the court that the Fourth Amendment doesn't turn on possessory interest. It turns on two theories. One, which is more widely cited, the expectation of privacy theory, and the alternate theory, which was recently, I guess, re-resurrected in the Jones case, was the trespass theory. And I would suggest that when a trespass occurs, which I believe occurred in this case, when you go into somebody's body to take something and the defendant consented to the surgery but did not consent, as the court found, to the turnover of the bullet, that the state action went beyond the scope of the consent and thereby became, to that extent, a trespass.
Well, those are words. Let's take a different case, but same principle. Let's assume that in this case, the victim, or the person who was in the house and shot the bullet, instead of being approached by the defendant who was holding a gun, was approached by the same defendant who was holding a knife and was about to stab the homeowner. Homeowner overpowers the defendant, turns his hand, puts the knife into the body of the defendant. And the rest of the facts are the same. Consent to remove the knife, the hospital removes the knife. Right. Are you telling us that...
Is the knife still on the defendant?
May I finish my question?
Are you telling
us that the defendant has a reasonable expectation of privacy as far as turning that knife over to the police?
Well, I'm not arguing the expectation of privacy prong of the Fourth Amendment. My argument is premised on when there's a bodily invasion, and the U.S. Supreme Court has recognized the integrity of the body in Schmerber and a whole line of other cases after that. And really, that line of cases talks about was there exigent circumstances to excuse the warrant requirement? State's not arguing that here. My argument is that when you go into a person's body surgically and remove something, that's a, technically a trespass if the consent, which was the consent here to surgery, we suggest, and not anything further than that, was exceeded.
Well, let's suppose that after the defendant, who is a knife victim in this case, wakes up after the surgery, the hospital administrator goes to him and says, do we have your consent to turn the knife over to the police? Does your argument is the hospital would have to ask the defendant for that consent, correct?
I think that was obviously the hospital's policy.
No, I'm asking,
they had a form.
I'm asking you whether the hospital would have had
whether they had to.
Yes.
I don't know the answer to that, but I do know what happened in this case. They thought they had to. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Take the case under advisement for assessment.